right. So on that note, this is Make It Weird, and I'm Steph, and my bully of the day is Sienna.
I'm Sienna.
Yeah, you are. And okay. She's being mean to me.
Okay.
That was such an eye roll. Like, an eye roll can't come across here. This is why we talked about filming it.
Yeah.
But I would need a puzzle.
It'd be so much easier to play a drinking game if this was a film.
Yes, that is true. Except that we tend to film this and then have to go do chores.
It's which not a I am game so for sure. This.
Oh, for okay. us. Oh, it's a drinking game for people at home?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I might actually watch the podcast then.
You might listen.
Yeah. For anyone listening at home, I don't do nobody well with listening. Podcasts.
No, but if you follow any real person, they never listen to what they create.
Oh, no.
Oh. You think Jessica Chastain's watching her own movies? No. She knows she did fabulous.
Oh, okay. Good. Wait, we like Jessica Chastain?
We love Jessica.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, then she doesn't need to watch it. She knows exactly. It's awesome. 100%. I love that you could just tell me any name of anyone. Tell me it's famous. You never
seen Miss Sloan? Molly's Game? Either? Wow, those are good movies. You'd like Jessica Chastain.
Right, but just like you could tell me any name and tell me they're famous and mm-hmm. tell me they were in that's a movie true. And then name anything and be like, they're actually, great. Yeah. And
that'd be too easy, though.
Yeah, that's taking advantage of old people is what's happening there. That's you taking advantage. That's another form of bullying, Sienna.
Oh, my God. You're fine. okay.
Right.
What's the dog topic of today, Steph?
Well, we were going to do, if we don't get distracted, we started a couple so far this year where we've gotten distracted halfway through. I've gotten distracted doing this sentence.
My face was not, it was the if we get distracted. I know what's going to happen.
Right, but we're going to try and not get distracted. And any tangents we go on, we are going to try and keep them short because we have a lot of things to say. Right, okay. Well, I'm going to try. She's not. We are going to talk about resource guarding.
Okay.
And we've threatened to talk about resource guarding several times, actually, because we always drop that Oakley is quite the resource guarder.
Yeah.
And I live with resource guarders. You live with a couple. Yeah, I live with a couple. Couple.
Handful.
Just the odd one. And that's one of those things that I'm like, we've always threatened to talk about resource guarding. We've always said, okay, we'll do it. What are you counting?
How many dogs do you have that you would classify as resource guarders?
All of them but one to various degrees.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
The one is Sugar.
No, Jack.
Really?
Yeah, Jack. And I mean, you could still, like, I would still class, like...
No,
I would say he's not because I would say he is because he's a dog. So he's a resource guarder because he's a dog. But I would say he will absolutely resource guard to a puppy. Like he'll be like, puppies, don't touch my stuff. Don't take my bones. You're 4 months old. Like, don't touch my stuff.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, 100%. But like, as soon as the dog becomes an actual like year and a half old dog or has any kind of oomph to it. He won't. He will go like, hey, I'm done. Sugar will resource guard toys. Sugar will absolutely resource guard toys. Sugar, and it's not in the sense of, so we're jumping ahead, Sienna. Oh, spoilers. We're jumping ahead.
Sorry, right. There's degrees to resource guarding.
Guarding. There's escalation to resource guarding. From different places.
Let's rewind Sienna. A bit. Rewind a bit. I got too excited. I actually didn't get that excited. I just, was being nosy. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, resource guard.
Resource guarding.
What's that?
Wow. Resource guarding is, would you agree that this is one of the most misunderstood things that we come across from both owners and other trainers?
No, but top. I think the number one is separation anxiety.
Oh, 100%.
And I
want
to talk about that one. Yeah, but I would put resource guarding in probably like the top three.
But would you also say though it's misunderstood by both? Lots of things are misunderstood by owners.
Yes.
And then there are some things that are misunderstood by trainers and not owners.
Yes.
There are very few things that I find misunderstood.
And yes, I agree.
Yes. Regardless of methodology and ideology and all that. Regardless of what type of dog people own. Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of a lot of different factors, I find it's very misunderstood on both sides.
Yes.
So resource guarding is, in a lot of ways, a very natural behavior for dogs where they go, that is mine, please don't touch it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they say, please don't touch it. And sometimes they say, Don't even look at it. If you look at it, I'm going to shank you. Sometimes they say, if you even breathe near this, I'm going to rip your skin off.
Some of them actually don't even say anything. They just shank you.
Yeah, actually, that is true. And some of them literally are like, cool, would you like a piece of what I'm having? I'm a very sharing, caring kind of individual.
Haven't met them.
Right. And this is the other thing is, and when I said a very sharing, caring individual, I really like the word individual in there, because just because you've owned one type of dog that does not resource guard, or love one that type of dog that does, or just because you've owned multiple, this is a very individual behavior.
Yeah.
Resource guarding can be very individual in the way it's presented. It can be very individual in the degree to which it is demonstrated.
Shows up.
It's a very, very individual behavior, which means it requires a very individual solution, because it also can show up dependent on that individual's life.
Yes.
There are a lot of dogs that do not necessarily show their desire to resource guard stuff because they live a life in which that doesn't really become... it never pops up. But then you change your life and you're like, oh my God, my dog just started resource guarding something. And I'm like, no, your dog
just
has always been able to do that, but you never gave them that.
Especially when it comes to, I would say the prime example of that is like if you have one dog.
Yes.
And then you get another dog.
Yes. The very, very common example that we see is someone that says, my dog absolutely doesn't resource guard. It's never done this before in its life. And I'm like, cool, but when did a dog live with you?
Right.
And they're like, well, my dog sees dogs at the dog park. My dog has stayed at the kennel. My dog has done the thing. Whatever. My dog has stayed at a friend's house. But I'm like, okay, when was the last time you moved a dog into your house? Mm-hmm. Well, I had a dog there for the weekend. No. This dog lived has now with. Moved into your house. When is the last time your dog lived with a dog and had to share everything they own? Their space, their human, their attention, their time, their backyard. When is the last time that happened? And people are like, oh, never. And I'm like, right.
That's why it's popping
right.
up.
Right.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that, hey, this just popped up. It means that that's very likely...
life has changed and now it is something they can do.
And that's not to say resource guarding has... it does show up... a lot of people think it's from like one incident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my other dog stole this dog's bone, or someone took it away, or someone must have not fed my dog or whatever. And that's why they're a resource guard in this one incident. And I would say that resource guarding... now, this is completely anecdotal. This is my own opinion. My God, let's preface that. I would say... one in every 20 I would see of resource guarding would be like from an incident, you know, because everybody wants to believe it stems from like one incident, one thing, a dog growled at my dog once and that's why, or they lost their ball once and that's why another dog stole something from them once.
Just one event.
They believe it's a single event learning thing. And I'm like, okay, maybe every now and then that does happen. 100%. In my experience, again, completely anecdotal, in my personal experience doing X number of dogs per year, every year for many, many years, I would say the vast majority are genetic.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority, it is...
well, it's such a genetic behavior.
Yes. Like the severity of which can be man-made.
Yes.
Oh my God, the hand in the food bowl.
That's that's the thing about resource guarding is like, and even I didn't understand it. Nobody, like, again, it, like we said, it's just something that is very misunderstood. Of just like,
this is the reason you sought training 4 years ago and ended up here.
But I didn't even know that was really the issue at the time. No. And the thing is, it is such a...
you were told your dog was reactive.
It's such a fluid spectrum of just like, you can, like, there's, yes, different severities, but it's also just like, I don't know, like, yeah, it's just completely misunderstood. And it's just like I said, like, yeah, Oakley is a massive resource guarder, but I had no clue about that.
No.
And I just thought she was fighting Zoe.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a fight, which it is, but where it stems from is that, and it's such a genetic behavior. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah, like, it's just, it is very interesting how, like, it's not something that people know about.
No.
And they know about it if it's super glaringly obvious.
That's the other thing.
Of like, okay, I tried to take a bone from my dog and they did not like that. Or just like, yeah, we have, if it's an extreme example of resource guarding, that's when people actually start to label it as resource guarding.
Yes.
When in reality, there's so many layers to that.
A year before that.
I was going to say it started a year. It could start with other things. And
it started at 4 months.
Everybody hears, not everybody, but like large people say like, when they think resource guarding, we think like literal resources, which is a lot of time food. A food, a bone.
They maybe literally, a toy. There's so many people that come in that are dealing with resource guarding that don't label it as resource guarding because they're like, oh, well, they'll guard bones, but they won't guard like kibble from each other. They won't guard toys. They won't guard anything. So it can't be that.
Right.
And I'm like, no.
Well, and it's even like, I've seen you do this a bunch where like you actually start going back and questioning, like, okay, but like if your dog is on the couch, can you get them off? And it's like, oh, no. Okay, if your dog is here...
If your dog's on the couch, can the other dog walk past the couch? Oh, no.
Right. If you're with your other dog and the other dog comes up, are they okay about that? No, they try and get involved. Like, you go back and you question so much, but, like, four of the five questions, they wouldn't even thought that was resource guarding.
Yes. But that's... And that's why I do that, though, is because people... Yes, they come when... People will see a dog guard a very fresh, new, like, raw bone from another dog, and they'll be like, ah, that's acceptable. Resource it's resource guarding, but it's acceptable because it's high value. And they still don't want that dog to put punctures on another dog, but they're like, oh, you growled? I understand. Yeah. Okay. But they, that, and they're willing to seek help once the growl turns into punctures. But they aren't. They don't really see the warning signs and they don't really understand if they're like, oh, well, also that dog can't go near the other dog's crate. Also, well, yeah, that dog can't. I mean, if I'm petting this dog, then the other dog. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, could this one use the food bowl? Ooh, no, I probably wouldn't do that. Okay, could you take this away? Absolutely, I could. Could anyone else? Oh, no. Ooh, I'm like, dicey. Right. So let's start backtracking here.
Yes.
And then... Yeah, by the time you're in, you end up finishing an assessment on a resource guarder, you find out that this has actually been, more often than not, you find out that this has been showing up since at least before a year, typically before 6 months.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the owners are like, oh, wow, oopsies. Well, there's actually like, a ton.
Because that's also the moment, because even before all the questioning, a lot of times when people actually start seeking help, especially when it comes to resource guarding, they go, oh, it escalated just so quickly. When in reality, once you go through the timeline,
oh, it's been a slow burn for a year. Right,
it is one of those behaviors that like it does escalate. And sometimes people seem shocked by that of like, well, it was never this bad, never this bad. And then all of a sudden it got really bad. Yeah. But resource guarding is a behavior that if left unchecked, of course will escalate.
Yes.
A lot of behaviors will. But resource guarding.
Yeah. A very, very common and easy to understand progression is that the high value food to like, so the new raw bone to the older raw bone that's been around for a week. And then like a new toy, but we don't guard any of the old toys. But then it's our food dish with you know, kibble. And then it's, you know, the Kong, even if it's empty. And then it's the old toys and the new toys. And then it's, oh, this is my bed or this is my crate. And then it's, oh, hey, this is the, like, I'm sitting on the couch so you can't pass by the couch. And then it's like, oh, I'm getting pets so you can't get pets. And then it's the whole room.
Well, like
then it's like, oh, that dog can't even come in the room that the first dog's in. And people are like, whew.
And it can also escalate, even if it doesn't escalate past like maybe one thing, it can also just escalate in the severity of like the feelings towards it. So maybe your dog never grows to resource guard the whole room.
Yeah, it can escalate. But maybe
what used to be just like, hey, I didn't like it when you touched my food. Now it's like, I really hate it when you touch my food.
So it can escalate because it can, so it can escalate in two ways. It can escalate by the stimulus or the trigger. It can also escalate in the severity within one subset of that. So if we guard our food, we go from growling over food to like, now I lay punctures on somebody. And that's the one that people get in trouble with because a lot of times dogs, there's a lot of dogs that will just, they'll stay in their lane. They'll guard high value food items. They'll guard their food bowl and that's fine. And those ones, they're not actually ever looking to expand out of that range. They're staying in there. Mm-hmm. But they, then people go, oh, I'm going to fix this without the help of a trainer. And where you see a lot of the escalation and severity without additional triggers is when someone has tried to do DIY, some at-home resource guarding, and they do the stick the hand in the food bowl. They do the pull the dog off the food. They do the... I'm going to take it out of my dog's mouth. Like, they do the weird
stuff. Here's a hot tip. Everybody loves a hot tip.
Tips and tricks. This is the tips and tricks segment.
Don't DIY fixing resource guarding.
Don't DIY behavior work, but definitely don't DIY resource guarding.
Well, we can't be too
Right. Okay. Let's not be broad.
Hot tips can't be too general. You gotta be okay. specific.
Sorry. Sorry.
Don't Google reuse gardening and go, well, I'm gonna fix this today.
Yeah. And you know what? I am okay with the Google to a degree. Not always, but okay. I am okay with the Google. But the problem is if you do the Google and you go reuse gardening and then you read the first two entries on Google and you go, ah, I've got the solution. Interesting. If you hyperfixate on resource guarding for 3 weeks and read everything mm-hmm. written on Google about resource guarding, and you've bought some books on Amazon and you're listening to an audio tape, and then you're like, okay, maybe I can start to implement some help while I get a trainer. You, my friend, you can try and DIY some resource guarding while you hire a trainer.
If you watched one TikTok that said, put your hand in your goddamn dog's bowl.
Wow.
Stop putting your hand in your dog's bowl. I think actually we've talked about that somewhere else, somewhere along the lines a long time ago. But let's just refresh this just really quickly.
Yeah, this is one that we could say every single time.
Yes, actually, never enough. Don't put your hand in your dog's shit. Like, yeah. just if they're eating, leave them alone.
Yeah.
If they're chewing on something, don't go take it.
Yeah, there's, like, yeah.
You don't have to.
No.
Because a lot of people, at least a lot of clients I have found, will say, like, oh, well, we don't love food, but, like, I put my hand in their food all the time.
They always say, like, don't worry. I love to stick my hand in their food until they're 6 months old. I've covered my bases,
yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. Okay. That's how I socialize them. They say that with the same energy if they go, don't worry, I brought him to dog parks a lot.
Yes.
Don't worry. I stuck my hand in his food a lot when he was younger.
Like, and I'm like, always. Always, please.
Anybody that starts with don't worry, I'm like, immediate concern.
And like, just maybe to really dumb this down, Steph, why is it a bad idea to stick your hand in your dog's food dish while they're eating?
For the same reason that I wouldn't stick my hand in your food while you're eating.
Wow.
Because it's fucking rude.
Right.
A, it's right. fucking rude. And B, there's no need. It doesn't teach them anything. Right. Like, okay, I love the why, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Why? Like, let's come up. Okay, let's do it. Let's come up with a reason why.
Why what?
Why you would stick your dog. Like, how could that possibly help? Besides I've actually played this game in my head. Besides the thought of, like, getting them familiar with you being that close, it doesn't teach anything because you're not reinforcing anything. Right. So, the only reinforcement you could see out of that is they're continuing to eat the food. So, like, because they keep getting to eat the food, that is, like, they're getting the reward out of it. But it is not a better reward than they would have gotten without you there, which to me makes it a wash. But, like, if you're looking, anytime you ever consider doing anything for training, and somebody tells you to do something or you Google it or whatever, like, okay, stick your hand in the dog's food. Okay, why? Why would I do that? What does that possibly teach the dog? Does it, now some people have said, well, it teaches them I'm not taking the food away. I'm like, okay, you're not taking the food away, but you're being a fucking asshole.
But also, like, they can't read your mind. They don't know that that's the...
Yeah.
That's the assumption that, like, you're not going to take it away.
Well, and the goal is, and because again, I've heard people that think they're smart repeat this, is that if you stick your hand in often enough, then they begin to learn that it happens a lot and you're not going to take it. It happens right. a lot and you're not going to take it. I'm like, first off, there's always a first time.
You also know. So
the first time you stick your hand in there, they don't know that.
You know what also teaches your dog that you won't take their food?
Mm-hmm.
Not taking their food.
That.
Just leaving them alone.
That's the thing, is I'm like, so if the goal is that they learn that you're not going to take their food away, there are other ways to accomplish that. So if you're looking at, well, then they still get to eat their food. So that's the reinforcement of the scenario. Well, they would have gotten to eat the food anyway. So again,
right.
there's easier ways to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On the meantime, if we go back to the benefit versus risk, maybe the benefit is that they learn that you are not going to take their food. They are learning that you're an annoying kind of asshole when it comes to eating, yeah. but okay. They're just like, I don't want to eat
you. But, like, what an interesting benefit, because, like, they're going to learn that either way. If you don't take their shit, they'll learn you don't take their shit.
Yes, right? Like, it's not a well-thought-out benefit.
Okay, so sure,
the risk, again, death.
Yeah. Not to be extreme, but death.
stitches. Like, just, it's such an interesting idea, and that's such a prevalent myth. Like, it's such a thing. It is said with the same energy of people that go, I brought my 4-month-old. I literally got my dog vaccinated in 72 hours. I threw it into a dog park, and I'm like, you could have gone to the zoo and threw it in a bear pen. Like, that might have done the same thing, right. To be honest. You're still like, hey, maybe this dog will be a snack, maybe not. Like, maybe they learn bears are nice.
Like, maybe. Maybe they are one of those, like, little fun, like, the dodo things of, like, unlikely friendships and animals.
Oh.
Cute.
Still cuter than a dog park.
literally.
Yeah.
Actually. At least you could get a good picture.
Right? Right? I don't know. I'm just saying. But that's the thing is, so I'm just, that is one of the things that I just really, really wish anyone getting a dog for any reason, puppy, older dog, anything, certainly older dog, don't just stick your hand in their food. Don't just take their shit for no reason. If they have a toy, like, you don't need to just take their shit.
Right.
If they have a chew, you don't need to take it. I mean, if they're choking,
yeah,
pull it out of their mouth. Yeah, good job.
You could definitely, if they've slid a chew halfway down their throat,
yeah,
if you feel free to just rip those jaws open and
yeah,
snoop that out.
Excellent work, Sienna.
Yeah, me and Haley saved a dog's life.
Yeah, yeah.
By 100%. A dog, we mean Steph's dog.
Yeah, and by just a dog, we mean, wow, is he not a genius? Like, this is a dog saved chew. He has had many of these. Just to clarify, we are not giving him a murder weapon. We have given him many of these before. He understands how to do this. Yet, he did not. So he just decided.
He chewed it wrong. He didn't chew it. He just basically softened it enough to slide down its throat.
Yeah, to try and swallow.
And then he went, oh,
yeah.
He
tried to, like, corn cob chew, like, a tendon instead of just chewing the end of it like he should. And then he went, wow, you know what we could do? And luckily,
he went, help me, I'm stuck. I held it up in his mouth and Haley just literally, like the sword in the stone, pulled it out. Yeah. And
said, he swallowed a couple inches.
Now you don't get nice things.
Yeah, now you don't get nice things. God, he's such a special boy. Right, so resource guarding. Again, that's kind of the most prevalent myth. The other kind of really prevalent myth is, like, I wouldn't say it's a myth, but I would say, like, oh, one event can cause your dog to be this crazy resource guarder. I wouldn't say that's untrue, but I would say it is more rare. The other thing that I would say is that for certain types of resource guarders at certain levels of resource guarding, that is something you can train. It is something you can work on. It is something you can do stuff with and really work on.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that you solve with management. And you do both. You do management and training. Yep. We are going to do an episode on both the intersection of management and training.
Wow.
But there is a level with resource guarding, you know. So that's why when you were trying to count off my dogs and be like, well, who's a resource guarder and who isn't?
Yeah.
I would not classify.
There's layers to that.
Yes, there are many layers.
It's not just a label you can give or not.
No, I actually, like, I tell people a lot, most of my dogs are resource guarders.
Yeah.
Now, all of them are to different degrees. I don't really consider Jack one because he's older. It's really only with puppies. It's like, if he feels like it, he's 11. Like, in his heyday at 5, sure, I'm sure he would have resource guarded against another dog. But, like, to be honest, we never would have let that happen. So, like, hey. But there is a difference between a dog that is willing to resource guard something by, like, growling and standing over it and can be called off for a piece of liver. And a dog that is willing to, like, consume the entirety of what's in front of it while trying to eat you, or stand over it and you could wave an entire steak over here. And they're like, care. I don't want that because I have this and I'm just not going to give this up on the basis of the fact that this is mine.
Yeah.
Those are different things.
There's layers.
There's different. There's dogs that are willing to correct another dog for touching their stuff. Yeah. That is kind of what I classify Jack as. So would I say Jack isn't a resource guarder? No. Would I say he is, but it's absolutely something I'm like, it's fair. Fair resource guarding. Absolutely. Almost all of my dogs I would classify as fair resource guarders. But that gets into another discussion of, like, I was talking to a client the other day about, do you trust your dog or not? Because we have a question on our assessment. Do you trust your dog? Yes or no? And he goes, man, I got to tell you, filling out that form was a trip. Like, it really made me think about my dog. But that question, I sat there and went back and forth. And I said, yes. That's the hope, is there some people that are going to answer that instantly. And there's some people that are going to think about it. But I also said, just because you say yes doesn't mean your dog is the best dog and the safest dog in the world. I tell everyone, I trust all of my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I trust that this dog will do this. I trust that this dog will do this. Yes. I trust that this dog will guard every single thing I could ever give him, and I would never, ever, ever ask another human being alive to try and get him to give his stuff to them. That's trust. I trust I do trust. That I doesn't trust mean it's good behavior. It doesn't mean I'm okay with it. It doesn't mean it's good. I do. I fully trust that I know my dog.
Yes.
And that's... And
I, like, yeah, I'd say the same for Oakley. Like, I do actually, at this point, I trust her. Absolutely. I trust her to make the decision I know she will make.
Yes. Like, I 100% trust Oakley.
Trust does not mean, wow, you have to be a great... Like, you have to play with all dogs and you have to be great humans. And,
trust doesn't mean I'm willing to give you a raw bone and put you in a kindergarten class or in a daycare with 40 other dogs. I trust that if I do that, you'll hurt
someone. I know the outcome. I trust I know the choice she will make, and I trust I know the outcome.
Yes, and that's the thing that I try and get across to resource guarders all the time, is I'm like, you want to do some training. You want to have a lot of management in place, and you want to do a bunch of training.
Yeah.
However, you also just need to get to the point where you trust your dog. You trust the level. So, like, the other reason I say Jack isn't is because if Jack guards something, I know the level to which he guards it.
Yeah.
It's very fair, it ends. And it's very minor.
Mm-hmm.
So I trust that I can put puppies in a room with him. He'll guard stuff, but he's never going to push it and hurt them.
No.
There are also dogs I trust that if I put them in a room and just let a clueless puppy wander up, they aren't the dog that's going to teach that puppy a lesson. They're the dog that's going to kill that puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust that implicitly. I'm like, so you need management training, but you also need to trust your dog. And that doesn't mean that you trust that your dog's never going to hurt anything.
You have the awareness of who they are.
Yes. And... are you aware that they're just going to, is the risk you're taking, again, going back to benefit versus risk, is the risk you're taking that someone might get scared or someone might get a little bit muzzle punched or maybe get a scratch? Or is the risk you're taking...
Death.
Yes.
Death.
Sienna is big on the death. Well, and that's not to say I actually don't think...
It's a pretty heavy risk.
I actually don't think for a dog like that outweighed Oakley 20 pounds... I actually think she would guard something without question. She would go to injure, but she's smart enough to know when she's beat.
Yeah.
And she would go, I'm guarding this, and she would do what she had to guard the thing, but she wouldn't push it. With small dogs, I think she'd kill them, because she also is smart enough to be like, haha.
I can fucking take you.
Yes.
No, I know. And that's like, and I just don't interact with a ton of small dogs.
No.
I don't have a lot of 80 pounders coming into my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's...
which is good, I guess.
But. Yeah. But that's the thing. So I'm like, a large part of resource guarding is management. A large part of resource guarding is training and how those interact. But then another part of it is trusting your dog. And just because you have not seen them guard something for 2 years because you have good management and good training,
yes,
does not mean that they suddenly did not become a resource guarder.
Right.
It means that you're doing your job as an owner. You're now putting them in a situation where they are in the position to act on those
impulses. And here's the thing. Is not everybody, like, I would say you have a little bit of experience with dogs, like, some.
I don't know.
And so, like, you've seen a couple. Why I'm just like, you might not actually understand. What?
I watch them on TikTok. That's my perfect experience.
Done. Yeah. But, like, to me, I'm like, if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, well, what degree is my dog, and trying to find the level.
If you're asking those questions, you do not know.
You do not know. So, yep, get a trainer and help. But the other thing is, in the meantime, whether you're seeking help or whatever, if you're kind of trying to figure out what level it is, play to the lowest level.
Yep.
Like, manage it and treat it like your dog would kill another dog.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Then, you know, no one dies.
Yeah.
Yep. Because the thing is, you can probably do that whole assessment of a dog and understand what level of degree they are a resource guarder. You should. It's your job.
That is my job.
However, like,
if I can't do that, you shouldn't.
If you're just a dog owner and, like, you're just like,
and you've never, you're like, I've owned 3 dogs before this and none of them have ever done this. Yeah. Play to the lowest competent owner. Be like, I should definitely keep them apart exclusively until I find someone that has seen this.
Especially
before.
Considering a majority, I would say, of the management for resource guarding isn't actually that extreme. Like, it can get extreme, don't get me wrong. No, but
it's super
easy. Of the base level things are things like, keep your resources up. Like, put the toys away. They're not free access. Wow.
I ate a bug.
Don't leave Kongs and shoes and bones leaving in your living room floor. Like, they're just kind of things that shouldn't actually alter your whole life. And that's where it's just kind of like, I think if you go into it and you're really hard thinking about it right now, like, oh, what degree does my dog, should I leave them in a room with a puppy? If you're unsure, don't.
Yeah.
If you're unsure, don't. And that's okay.
There are a lot of behavior issues that are not very easy to manage. It's like, Dogs that have containment issues.
Yep.
Very, very difficult to manage if you don't have resources or have experience with that. Same-sex aggression.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that can pop up when dogs hit puberty.
I have multiple dogs. In
well, I'm yes. But that's the thing. That's something that can pop up when they hit puberty and whatever. Or leash reactivity. If you do live somewhere like an apartment or whatever, that's something that's very, very difficult to manage because so many of those things are out of your control. So many things with other behavior issues are out of your control. With resource guarding, everything can be in your control.
And then,
short of again, your dog like grabbing a chicken wing off the side of the road.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Which again is actually very easy to control because you muzzle train. If they are such a resource guarder that they would like grab a piece of garbage off the side of the road and you would not be able to take it away to the point that you would be risking stitches, you should be muzzle training your dog.
Yeah.
Right? Like before you see a trainer type of thing, try and see a trainer at the same time. That's a multitasking kind of deal. But that's actually a thing that again, you can manage. And again, it's so difficult to get into a trainer now because we're all busy. It is expensive. It is actually expensive. But you know what isn't for resource guarding? Management. Yes. You can actually manage. It's actually cheaper. You don't have to buy bones and chews and stuff.
No.
Right? Wow. You can buy a muzzle and prevent a lot of those issues.
Yeah. I just...
Mm-hmm.
People... Because even... And then once people are aware of it, they try and train... And this is where I also think, at the beginning you were saying of, this is also a misconception, that trainers don't have a full understanding of.
Yes.
But everyone, even if they're made aware of the problem, they do genuinely believe that it's one of those things you can train out of.
Yes. There's one of those things that you can train out of. And there's also the thought that there's people that kind of understand that they're I've dealt with one dog like this. They don't believe it's individual. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's a blanket statement.
They're I've done one husky. That was the level of this husky. So it can't possibly act like a Corso. No. Right. And I'm like, no, you saw a Corso be really, really aggressive. You saw a husky not. They can be the other way, man.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things that I'm it is a little bit misunderstood. It's also very frequently not treated as individual.
And, it is just, and again, speaking from my own experience, it's just, I thought it was something you could train out of.
Mm-hmm.
Not only first was I not even aware it was a thing or the root cause of my issue, which it was.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's also just, I was told it could be gone, it can mm-hmm. be, it can go away. Yeah. It can go away if you work hard enough.
The advice you were given for resource guarding when you started seeking help was great. It was feed them together.
Yeah. Which again, just you're saying, if you treat it like the one dog, for one dog that might actually, I doubt this, but for one dog, it might actually work that technique of hey, we're eating together.
I do that with my puppies. Yes. When they come home at 8 weeks, I start going, here's one for you. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. And I actually did it at 8 weeks.
Yes.
From the beginning.
And
was a 2-year-old dog that had already tried to kill your other dog multiple times. I was gonna say,
laid punctures in my other dog. And that's the thing is, if it's...
Zoe.
R.I.P. Not because of Oakley. if it's one of those...
Gotta throw that in. By the time you had hired someone for Oakley, Oakley was what? Coming up on 2?
Probably.
So Oakley was coming up on 2. You have no idea the backstory on this dog. You have no idea the history on this dog. She was literally found in a box. Lovely times.
Well, I mean,
and at that, by the time you had sought help, she had put punctures, severe punctures on your other dog. If this was a 4-month-old puppy that you knew the history on, and they were equal sizes, because also, Oak outweighed Zoe by 35 pounds?
At that point, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
She was growing.
Right. If your 4-month-old puppy had been growling at an equal-sized dog in 4 months, and you know the history on the other dog, and that's fine, maybe that would have been that would have been a good
idea. If that was how you solved resource guarding as a blanket statement, yes.
Absolutely. True. There you go. I would give that a shot.
Love that. Live that.
100%.
But the reality is it's not a blanket statement, which means it didn't help and it didn't fix it. And
it did not
go
well, actually.
It did not go well. And in reality, it was something that it didn't matter what training drills I was given. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what homework I was given. Mm-hmm. The answer had to be, no, they don't meet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate. And this is
the
thing, is
the amount of, and so here's the intersection between management and training. At that point in time, we are talking about a dog that was 2 and another dog that was a grand total of what? 12, 13 pounds. And at that point in time, she was 11 or 12.
Probably, yeah, between 10 and 12.
She was 11 or 12. She had dementia. She was like mm-hmm. going blind and deaf.
She was already like an old senior dog.
Yeah. So she isn't learning from those experiences, and that's fine. So it's not like she can go, oh, I'm avoiding Oak, because she was like, half the time I don't even know I'm in floating. The house versus outside, and I don't know where I am in space and time. So, like, that's fine. So the other part of that is, like, management training. At that point in time, with a 12-year-old dog, the amount of training, if you had Oakley right now and Zoe came back to life, would I say feed them next to each other? No. But the amount of training you have now done with that dog 4.5 years later... Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I could give her something on one bed and I could give another dog something on another mm-hmm. and be like, okay, she's going to be fine. Because as soon as she even looks over and is like, hey, you're going to be like, no. And she's going to be like, cool. But that's 4 years of training. Mm-hmm. And again, benefit versus risk. Why would you ever do it? But I actually have complete faith that you have the level of training that would carry you through that situation if all of a sudden management were to fail. Like,
yeah.
you somebody just walked in with their dog, or they weren't on a back tie, or whatever.
Ran down the stairs, yeah.
But that is for you with that dog.
Yes.
That is not for other people with that dog. That is also for you with that dog with a known dog.
Right.
Right? If it was a random dog that walked in, no. But I'm like... management is the solution there, because I'm like, that is a 12-year-old blind and deaf chihuahua. Oak is sitting there going, wow, I'll guard anything that might look edible.
Right.
I'm like, okay, those are very up to and including, and then it was going into space, which was a whole other deal, but that's fine. But I'm like, that's where, yes, it's a very, very individual, but it's also individual based on the situation. It's also, it can change. It can change over time. I'm not saying it can't. But again, the amount of training that has had to go into that dog to be able to sustain that situation.
I became a full-time fucking dog trainer.
Yeah. Like, would not be something that I would say, hey, let's rely on training to get this dog through a situation with a resource.
Especially looking at it from that, like a 4 years ago of...
4 years ago, Sienna, that was like, what leash am I holding?
Right. And like...
4 years ago, Sienna didn't even have opinions on leashes. She was just like, it's a leash.
I mean, it probably did, but whatever.
A little bit, but like...
It's just something that, like, if you're told it's going to be trained out of, and this can be said for any behavioral mm-hmm. problem, but if you're told it'll be trained out of, you're way less likely to actually manage it.
Yes. Right?
And so that's one of those things, and this is why resource guarding, it's close to home, because I'm just like, it's okay that the answer is management.
Yes.
And that's that finally, like, when I came here and you told me that, I was like, okay, cool, done, then it's done.
That was literally session one. I was like, you were telling me while I was told to feed them together, and I was like, I want you to, your first homework was like, do this, do this. And I was like, and literally never let them meet again.
Right.
Your 12-year-old blind dementia chihuahua deserves to live its life in peace. And I said, and this one can go behind a baby gate or go behind a crate. I don't care. Because you were literally like, she's dementia. She has no idea what's going on. So she won't even remember like this happened.
Yeah,
and
she just taught her in.
And I was literally like, then absolutely not.
Well, and it's just like, something absolutely not. I understand that this is where it's like, it gets frustrating. Because when we think of a dog, we think that this isn't aligning with our dream picture.
Everybody
of a
has
dog.
That picture in their head, and that
I
picture
want them
in
to
their
be
head.
Able to come to everyone's house. I want them to go to the lake and share bones with the other dogs at the
lake.
In a
kindergarten's class, really.
Yes,
like, they want to go to the lake with a horde of kindergarten children and chew a bone while the kids throw the bone
and tickle them. Like, yes, that's the thing.
And then, while grabbing their tail and be like, at the lake, yes. When we don't want a collar or a leash or a muzzle on the dog at all, we just want the dog to make a choice.
And actually, I want to be in the house eating a snack while my dog.
Oh yeah, obviously we're not supervising that. No,
but
no.
That's where it's just
right.
Like
that's
I
the
understand.
Dream. That's the dream.
We get it. Cool.
Wow.
I love that.
Mm.
But it's just kind of the reality is.
That's not always, not to say that there aren't dogs that I'm sure
no,
can do
I'm
that.
Saying
that's
no to that.
Lovely.
I'm saying no to that. Well, I'm saying there's not a single dog that can do that.
I'm trying it. We're being optimistic.
No,
okay,
no you can be optimistic. Okay. I never signed up to the optimism train for the resource guarding episode. Have you met me? Are you fucking kidding me? People come in and tell me their dog's a resource guarder. Great. Put a leash on them. Are we crate trained? Let's muzzle train. Let's put them on a tap bag. And actually, they never have to meet another dog.
No.
I don't care. I don't care that your aunt has a dog. I'm sorry.
I love when it's not like my aunt that's moving in because she's losing her house and she's going to live with me for 4 years. No. It's the aunt that we see once every 3 years with the... aggressive dog.
This like, even very like, much
well,
also...
Well, the other dog is really not trained, but I need my dog to just not eat it when it runs into its house and steals its
stuff. And I have very big feelings on the resource guarding to other dogs, but it also very big feelings on resource guarding to humans. If you have the level of resource guarder that they are not just like... A lot of dogs, like we said, this always floats and there's degrees and levels and fluidity of just like, wow, maybe you just have a dog that will resource guard from other dogs, but would never from another human, or at least very rarely. Like I would say lovely. Oakley, massive resource guard to other dogs. To people?
No. She's lovely. Yeah.
I mean, I can argue any dog could be pressed, but no.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's not going
you
to...
press her into a corner with a stranger.
If I walk up to, like, not just me, but, like, if anybody, for the most part, could just walk up and take something and she's not going to have... She's going to be like, hi. And that's fine.
Yes.
But if you have a dog that has resource guarding feelings towards humans, again, this might shatter your picture a little bit, but then the management is your best strategy.
Yes.
Like, okay, then... Your dog doesn't get to have a chew while you have people over.
And the other thing is, management can be such an immediate solution. So resource guarding, by the time people are dealing with it, it's happening. It's happening in front of you. That's almost always. By the time people get to a trainer, they're coming to a trainer because, again, they've finally seen the thing, the part of resource guarding that they're concerned about. That means they're not seeing the rest of the iceberg under the water. They don't realize that the dog is actually low-level guarded shit for 4 years, but that's fine. Management... can be immediate. Training takes time. I'm like, that's why I'm like, Oak, now, after 4 years, you're a professional trainer with you supervising. I actually think is enough training. That's totally fine. That's a workable, that's to me, it's not a dangerous situation. All the management could fail. And if you are present, it's going to be fine because that is the level of training you have.
Mm-hmm.
However, that took 4 years. The level of management required for Zoe to never get injured again was 20 minutes in the first session of you doing private lessons with me 4 years ago, which was me saying, get a fucking baby gate in a crate and do not let your dog eat your chihuahua. Like, why are you, don't give them things together. Mm-hmm. I'm like, your chihuahua does not deserve that. And from that moment on, yes, Oak had more restrictions on her life as a 2-year-old that needed restrictions. Good for her. But at that moment on, it became safe.
Yes.
Safe, when we're talking about resource guarding, safe trumps everything else for the first while. Like, if safe is such an extreme level of management that your dog isn't, like, leaving the crate, that's a different deal. You should probably be talking to a trainer for a lot. You shouldn't be listening to a podcast about that.
Yeah,
but if you're literally talking about, like, my dog guarding from another dog, even my dog guarding from a human to a certain degree, the level of management required on that to make it safe and sustainable to continue
life.
It's not
crazy.
And also the management required to not self-reward that behavior. Like to not put the dog in a situation where it learns to do that better.
Like,
is it like you can learn that in 20 minutes. You can learn tie backs. You can at least learn about crates. Now, crate training might take some time, but you can learn about muzzles. The amount of things that you can learn about management will take 20 minutes. Implementing it will take a couple days. The training required to manage a resource guarding situation between multiple dogs, or the training required to manage a situation between humans and dogs.
My God.
Not quick.
Right.
Not 20 minutes.
And when we look at resource guarding, like we said before, of like it is an escalating behavior. And every time they do it, it's going to keep growing.
Every time they do it, they're probably successful.
Right.
So it's going to just keep growing.
Put the kibosh on it right away. Even, yes, you may have great goals in the future, and maybe they are actually attainable. If you manage it right away, it's not going to get worse. It's not going to escalate.
Let's go back to that, hey, I want to stick my dog's hand in the food dish already, right? Right. So the benefit is maybe they learn you don't take food away, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Maybe they keep eating their food, so they're like, wow, this is great. The risk is injury.
Death.
Here's the other risk. Again, in every situation, a dog is learning in every situation you put them in. So here's a fun thought. If you have owned a grand total of 3 dogs before in your life, and you go to stick your hand in your dog's food, knowing that they've guarded something, when they growl at you and hard eye you, instinctively, 99% of people, you are just going to pull your hand back, or you are going to freeze and then pull your hand back. You're going to flinch. What did your dog just learn there? It worked. Because your dog, even if your dog didn't land a bite, you are literally creating the situation.
You're letting them get an inch further. Where you are
teaching them how to guard. Better and better and better.
That's the benefit. Like, that's something.
Oh, wow. Why. You're teaching them something. Yeah.
Okay. They are learning. We said before you're not teaching them anything, but actually
you are. That pros list is getting longer. There we go. Ooh, two items. We're
whopping.
Yeah, we're trying. We're reaching, but it's there. But that's the thing is, so most people, when after they've seen their dog actually like try and bite them or snap or whatever, they're a little nervous about that, right?
Yes.
So they go to stick their hand in their dog's food and they're like, well, I was trying and then he growled at me. So I you know, pulled my hand back and then I went in and then I went out. And I'm like, what you just taught was that your dog is really successful at this.
Right.
Like you've just made your dog successful three times in a row versus the once that you walked past, you heard them guard, you backed up. They only learned once. Then you should call a trainer.
Right.
But instead, you decided to Google it, DIY, stick your hand in their food a bunch, and now they've learned it 14 times over. And I'm like, right. Because even if you stick your hand in their food, and they're fine. You stick your hand in their food, and they're fine. You stick your hand in their food, and they're fine. And then the fifth time you go to do it, you stick your hand in their food, and that's when they growl and snap, and you do a big jump back, because now you're not expecting it. Cool. That was far more successful.
Yes.
Than all the little freezes, right? So that's where I'm like, the other thing is people really don't know dog behavior well enough to be like, hey, my dog is guarding something. They genuinely will look at a dog and be like, my dog is being protective.
Oh,
my
protective,
dog is being
yes.
whatever. Oh, God, the protective dog at the lake. they're always protective.
They're always
in so
protective
many places.
At the lake.
But they're also like, so many people are like, well, he wasn't growling. He wasn't biting.
Yes.
He wasn't snapping. I'm like,
just because it doesn't look like what you think it'll look like,
yes.
doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's not happening. It also means it doesn't mean it's not serious.
Right.
A couple of my dogs, they're not going to
make
growl and big show of it.
Mm-hmm.
There, you should know though. You should know.
Right.
Because the growl and the big show. Jack actually will do the growl.
I was
going to
say, Jack puts up a nice show.
He puts up a great
He's
show.
He's an actor.
And if you are a four-month-old puppy, you believe him. You're like, oh my God, that boy's so scary. If you are
not.
I would even say, I normally say if you're a year-old puppy, but even if you're like 7 or 8 months, man,
you're
like,
pretty confident.
Oh, he's not. He's full
that's,
of it.
Like, that's fate.
Yeah. It looks like he has got quite the show. It's very, he's got a big growl. He's got lip pull back. It's a big show.
Very scary.
But it's not at all. And if you're a 4 month old puppy, it's good.
It's
and
real.
he'll even like do a little bit of a lunge and a snap without getting up, which is where it kind of falls apart, but that's fine. But that, yeah, it's quite the show, but he's the least serious garter I have. Meanwhile, my actually serious garters, yeah, they're not giving you a show.
I think they're going to get stuff done.
Yeah,
they're
here
more
to,
about the action.
They're all about the action. They're more about the bite than the
less
bark.
Theatrical.
Yeah, less theatrical, far
more
efficient. they're efficient.
Less of the theater, more of the hospital.
Yeah, they're fun. But that's the thing is like, people only believe resource guarding is resource guarding when it applies to the things they believe a dog thinks are worth guarding, and they do the things they believe a dog would do when guarding something.
Mm-hmm.
They have to growl, they have to lunge, they have to...
But they also aren't going to do anything extreme.
No.
We're not going to lay punctures. We're not going to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make a big show. I feel like there's also that category of people of being like,
yeah.
Well... Why he would never lay punctures. He's just growling.
Yeah,
he's only been growling at my other
end,
dog.
Yeah, that they believe that is literally the top that their dog will get to is that big show. They're like, wow.
Or like the little bit
like,
of a snap. But
mm-hmm.
then it's like, or the nice one is when they were like, well, they used to just growl, but now they just snap. But it's just a snap. They've never had to break it up.
Never connected. Wow, I guess you're really fast.
It's
like,
going, well, like, was going up.
Yeah.
Did you see that? It's going up.
Yeah, once you point out the escalation to them, they're
yes.
pretty good about being like, oh, yeah, my dog did freeze. And then my dog freeze and growled. And then a month later, my dog was freeze growling and taking a step. And then it was freeze growling, taking a step, and snap. And it's
yes.
like, but he'd never connect. He's never
no.
connected. He's not aggressive. And I'm like, he's not aggressive.
Never
he's a resource guarder. Like, that's
yeah.
fine.
Yes. Yes, like, that's...
This is the other thing is like, I own dogs. I own a multitude of dogs, different temperaments, different problems, different issues, whatever. And I own different dogs for different things. And a lot of them I would describe as resource guarders, all in various degrees. I own dogs, though. That is one of the things dogs do,
well,
or at least have the potential to do going in.
And if you come into it thinking resource guarding is this awful, aggressive label mm-hmm. that can be trained out of, then yes, you're going to panic. You're going to try and fix it yourself. Yeah. You're not going to want to just manage it. But in reality, if you just think of it as like, yeah, it's part of the dog's personality.
Yeah.
Like, it is part of the dog. Yep.
Yeah.
Resource guard. Moving on.
And honestly, most resource guarding. So in this house, again, she was listing them off on her fingers of how many dogs I have that are resource guarders or not. Of the dogs that I have that are resource guarders, I describe most of them as such. Of those, the ones that it is resource guarding to a problematic level, to a level that could get someone injured, one, maybe two, right? And that's where I'm like, resource guarding is actually an extremely prevalent behavior. It's just mostly minor. It's like, mm-hmm. hey, the dogs are like, hey, don't touch my stuff. But for the most part, it's like people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, don't stick your hand in my food, but I'll absolutely, if you ask me for a cookie, I'll share my cookies with you.
I'm more resource guarder around my food than, like, for example.
You're a resource guarder around a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, just around my
Yes, I know.
But, like, yeah, like, it's just.
But that's the thing is, and that's fine and that's acceptable. And it's fine for me to not share food unless I offer to share food. But that's the other thing is, I'm like, that's fine. It's mm-hmm. not a problem. For 95% of people that own dogs, yes, their dogs have a little bit of resource guarding for this or that. It's not a problem. The problem becomes is if you ignore it for so long that it grows, or you accidentally increase the severity to the point that someone's getting hurt, or you fail to mention it. Yeah, you refuse to acknowledge it. You do not tell someone that's like watching your dogs or taking care of your dogs or something. Or, like, just very, very few people are dealing with, like, injury level, yes. like, human injury level yes. resource guarding. A fair amount of people are dealing with, like, dogs that would injure other dogs.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always mean that those dogs are then willing to hurt people. Like, that's not always a crossover at all. But very, very few people are dealing with such severe resource guarders that they would, like, immediately injure dogs, humans, children, other animals, anything. And that's a very, very extreme thing. And if you are dealing with that, that needs to be done with a trainer. And it yes. needs to be done with a trainer with experience. You when you are talking to people, you need to specify. Interview a trainer to the point that I would actually do like a session or three, like mm-hmm. 1 to 3 sessions with them to see, not just ask them their experience about resource guarding. Because I would be asking about their experience with resource guarding as well as their results with resource guarding. I will say we do a lot of resource guarding. Most of what we do with clients is management. We explain proper management. Then we explain a ton about impulse control. We teach a ton of impulse control. But we don't try and teach a lot of like, hey, now we're getting to the point that we're sharing or we're like, you have a bone on this bed, you have a bone on that bed. Like we're very, very, very rarely getting to that point.
Yeah.
Because so few people are willing to train to that.
Right. That requires
if you
quite
can
a bit.
Train the base
that
of
requires
impulse
quite
control,
a bit when management doesn't.
Yes. And that's the thing is I'm like, and we have done that for the few people that really, they have an issue where they have to make
right.
their dogs.
They had to make it work.
They did the work
they
for
were willing
that.
To.
For the most part, we do management, but that we do enough training that it doesn't result in a loss of freedom for the dog. We do have strict management around certain things. And we have yes. a lot of training around all the other things that your dog isn't wildly dangerous around. But that one specific thing that they're definitely willing to put stitches on a dog for, yeah, we manage that. But then we do enough training that we're managing any other triggers in any mm-hmm. other situations from escalating. And that's the thing is, so if you're dealing with someone, if you have a resource guarder and you're dealing with a dog that has put punctures or stitches on a human or a dog or killed another animal over this, like you need to be talking to a trainer that has experience with that level of resource guarding, not necessarily because there are a lot of trainers start in like puppy group classes, yeah. puppy foundation. And
yeah, as a side note, it's not a
there,
group class type of thing. Just as
oh
a side
God.
Note.
Yeah. Resource guarding is not a group class
it's
thing.
Not.
But the other thing is, if you're dealing with someone that has primarily done like dogs under one and they've given you the junior trainer because you have like an 8-month-old that's resource guarding. And you just tell them, I have an 8-month-old that's resource guarding. And they think, hey, it's a puppy. Yeah, I've seen some 8-month-olds that will...
They mean business.
Yeah, that will literally like put you in surgery,
mm-hmm.
right? So if they've handed you to the youngest trainer on staff that does the puppy stuff and you actually have a resource guarder that has put 18 stitches in something,
mm-hmm.
you need to clarify yeah. that, just to be clear. If you are also being like, oh my God, my dog's such a crazy resource guarder because my dog growled at another dog when this strange, I decided to foster my aunt's dog for 2 weeks yeah. and it ran into my house while my dog was eating a bone
okay.
and my dog growled at it. And then mm-hmm. got up and walked away and abandoned the bone. I was like, okay, you're okay.
You're good.
You're okay. I've had that conversation as well. I've gone both ways.
Both ways.
It's good. It's good. I'm like, okay, your dog is actually...
It's okay.
Actually, that's fine. I mean, that's lovely.
We can talk.
Your dog
we
is train. An angel, it sounds like.
You're good.
You're okay. But good call.
Good
asking
call.
Someone.
Always ask a trainer.
Yeah, always ask.
I love
but
that.
Like, no. But definitely if you are looking to get a trainer to help you work through the problem... You need someone with experience. Management-wise, we love a good crate. We love tie
leashes.
We love leashes. Man, do we love leashes.
We love muzzles.
We adore muzzles. What a wonderful
we
time.
Love rooms. We
yeah,
love,
just
like,
separate
closed
rooms.
Concept houses. Are
yeah,
beds.
Man, do I hate an open concept
but if you
house.
Have, but if you have one, you know what else is great? A baby gate.
Yeah.
Or
and
like
actually,
playpen.
Even if you have an open concept house, they make baby gates that go across open concept house.
Like a charm.
People get a child and they figure that out so quick. People get a dog. I tell them
listen,
they get a baby gate. They come back 2 weeks later. They're like, they don't make baby gates
our
for 5 feet across.
Pretty open concept. For 2, 3, 4 years when I was living with Zoe and Oakley, we had a nice little pen going across our whole living
yeah,
room.
Yeah, you had a puppy pen.
We called
great.
It the paddock.
Yes. That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's
so,
lovely.
Like, they make things. There are solutions.
There are solutions. It
and
happens.
They're easy, and that way, you know, no one dies.
Yes.
So, maybe
yes.
do them. Look into them.
It's a thought. Yeah, resource guarding. I think we can do another episode maybe getting in-depth on resource guarding, but I think this is a fairly good starter
yeah.
on if you're dealing with resource guarding. First off, that is definitely a thing you seek the help of a trainer and a
yes.
private trainer, not a group class, and not someone that is newer.
And not TikTok and not Google.
Not TikTok, not Google. No, TikTok
You can
Google.
Read about it. Nobody says you can't read about it. But
absolutely.
Just don't go and try and solve it on your own because it's probably not going to do what you want and actually
yeah.
make
absolutely
it a lot worse.
Start managing it on your own.
Yes.
That's cool. If you want to try something, if you want to get ahead of the game before you can get into a trainer, try management. Management
mm-hmm.
is phenomenal. Get that crate going. Get a tie back going. Get leashes going.
Yes.
Muzzles, things, so many things, but none of them are sticking your hand in a food bowl.
Ooh,
no, that's never a thing. We don't love that.
Never just taking the stuff away from them.
No, we don't love the just taking them away
never
from
Never giving
it.
Them just 100% free access so they can find things to guard.
That's also fun. Yeah, I love when it's like, I took the bone away. So then my first question is, so did you pick all the stuff up? All the bones,
no.
all the toys? The answer is always
no. Why would we?
No.
It's
They've
okay
only
to...
ever guarded that one new bone. They've never
Everybody...
guarded any of the others. So I'm just going to leave
Dogs
them loose.
Dogs can have toys, but they can be away.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yep. Yep.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. They can. They can definitely be away. They can have one a day that you know is out and then you can swap
yep.
it. It's cool.
Yep.
They can have several out. If they're the only one there, like,
yeah.
and they're not guarding it from you, that's great.
Love that.
Love that for all of us. Yeah. Management, we love. Training, we love as well. It's just the amount when if someone says, hey, we can train your dog out of resource
yeah.
guarding in like 3 sessions. Maybe interview some other
maybe
people.
Maybe red flag on that one.
Yeah.
Maybe do a vibe check and
yeah.
pass.
Yeah. Hard pass.
But it's okay. Resource guarding... It's a part of life.
Yes. And it's not a bad part of life and it's not a wrong part of life. It is literally
just
a
like,
part of life.
Cool.
It's okay.
It's okay.
They are dogs. You are living with an opportunistic predator. You have chosen to live with an opportunistic
no.
predator. It's okay. Sometimes they'll do things like guard stuff. Guess what? You guard stuff.
No.
You know the best example of resource guarding I've ever thought of?
What?
When people have a new baby. And they're like, my dog jumps all over me. They jump over other people. They do this. They don't. But they've always been so good with the baby. They don't jump up on the baby. And I'm like, you resource guarded the shit out of that baby for the first 2 weeks. 100%.
Yes.
If they, because they're fine with the dog jumping on them. They're fine with the dog jumping
yes.
on guests. They're fine with the dog launching all over everything. But I guarantee you, if your dog is pinballing through the house, you've got like a 12-month-old shepherd type of thing. And you come home with a brand new infant. You... guard the shit out of that kid. You're like, absolutely not. Yeah. You're not jumping on me. You're not jumping on the kid. If the dog even looks in that direction,
no.
People are guarding that kid. And I'm like, so
you were good.
Like, frequently people will come in and be like, no, my dog is like crazy with everything else. But with the kid, oh no, he's really respectful of the kid. I'm like, so he really likes the kid. They're like, no, he doesn't jump on the kid. He doesn't go near the kid. He doesn't go anything. And I'm like, 100%.
You resource
guarded the shit out of that kid. Good job. Yeah. Good. Resource guarding is good job for you. People can do it too. And there's nothing good or bad about that.
It's
that's
just
a fair thing
to
resource guard.
Of.
And it's a fair level of resource guarding when you resource guard your baby from your out of control shepherd. Like, that's fine. But just as I am okay with you doing that, that doesn't mean I suddenly have a problem when your dog resource guards a bone from you. I'm like, yeah, that's also fair that your dog does that to you. I believe it is fair for you to resource guard your kid. I believe it is fair for the dog to resource guard a new bone. Certainly, most people resource guard their kid for the first 2 or 3 weeks. And then the dogs just learn, hey, I shouldn't go near the kid. Or if I do, it's very cautiously. Dogs are very good trainers. So they come in and... You know, nobody gets upset. Nobody yells at them. They're like, okay. And then
keep
they come
going.
A little further. And then they come a little further. And then everybody becomes real kosher in about 3-4 weeks.
Yep.
And I mean, still, my God, don't let your dog and your baby interact. That just stresses me out. But typically people just stop being very obvious about the guarding and dogs become very respectful of the resource.
Wow.
Well, dogs can do the same thing with a bone.
Yep.
Like, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with both ways.
You just have to be aware of it. You just have to, that's just the main part.
Yes.
If you're aware of it, you can actually do a lot of things and you could manage, you could train, you could do things. If you ignore it, if you never see it's there, wait till
or if
it's
you've
really,
seen
really
it
bad.
Once and then you're like, well, nobody got hurt this time, so I guess I won't. Ooh, that's a sentence that I love hearing. But resource guarding. We have big feelings about it.
We can keep going, but we should probably
We
stop.
Can keep going, but we have to do chores. So do we close this with a segment?
I think we do.
Oh, do you have like a pack
what were you
going to
close
it
with?
No, I wasn't going to close it with anything. I was literally going to fully rely on you to do this.
Oh, okay.
I was like, should we close this with a segment? Like, please, Sienna, what do you have as a closing
here's
segment?
Here's the thing. And this is not my question.
Okay.
But this is a question. How long do you think it would take for, like, the world to collectively notice that nobody has sneezed? Like, if everybody just stopped sneezing.
A month.
Really?
Like, the world collectively?
Yeah.
I think a month.
How long before you notice?
Depends. Is it spring or fall? Because I have...
You've got
worked
allergies.
Here 3 years.
I
will notice.
Sure. Let's even go with spring or fall.
Three days.
You think you'd notice that sneezing was no longer a thing after 3 days.
Mm-hmm. I've sneezed like 10 times today.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. How long do you think it would take you to notice?
I think it would take a long time.
Really?
Because it's something that... it's something that really bugs me.
Okay.
Like, in my house, I yell at anybody that sneezes. I don't know why.
Oh, you never yell at me. That's so fun.
No, because I also know it's like, I know you can't actually yell at someone for it, but it's just in my house. I'm like, it's gross. Go outside.
Yeah.
But it's something that really bugs me, but I think it's not something you notice. It just happens. So I think it would take a long time to not realize that anybody in the world was sneezing.
Well, I think it would take shorter than that because there are people whose jobs it is to know. Like, there are doctors and pharmacists that would be like, wow, I haven't seen anyone sneeze in like 4 or 5 days.
Don't,
and then they talk to their doctor
pharmacist
friends.
I still think
it'd
take
like,
longer than 2 weeks for even those people to realize sneezing.
I think doctors have to see sneezy people like all day, every day.
Because in this world, though, sickness still happens.
Yeah.
Things like people are still sick. Things are colds, whatever.
Yeah.
But no sneezing. And I think even
this
a pharmacist.
This is such an interesting question. Where did this come from?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It was a long time ago.
So I think
it's
a month.
It's in the box in my brain.
Wow, that box is
because for
a
while. Because like,
so I think a month. How long do you think? Like, you said a long time, but like 6 months or 12 months? Like, how long do
for
you
the
think?
World collectively to kind of catch on and for this to kind of pop up on the news? 5 months.
Okay. We're not talking like years. You're talking like 5 months. Okay.
I think 5 months. Unless the world is where it is at right now, because then I think it would take longer because there's other fish to fry.
Yeah.
But, and even personally for me, I think it would take a couple of weeks. Before you went, when was the last time someone sneezed?
Yeah, we got other things to worry about right now.
Yeah, we got other things to worry about, price but eggs. It is just something that would be weird if it happened.
Yeah. Interesting. See, sneezing, yeah, I think it would be a bit. I think it'd be like a month. But there are other things that I'm like, oh, I think it would be far longer, far shorter. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Interesting. Yep. Wow. That's lived in your brain?
A long time.
For same a long with time?
The thing that we talked about the dear whole God. Time at the beginning of the episode that will not yeah. air, that's lived in my brain for a very long time.
Lovely. Okay. Huh. Just you can also call Dixon if you hit a moose on the way.
Oh, absolutely. Just to be clear. No, I know.
For the part of the conversation that will not air, this won't make sense. But
Haley will know.
But if you hit a moose, you can call me. If you hit a moose, you can also call him.
Yeah, I know.
Or Kaylin.
I actually I do know. Mm-hmm. I just more so was concerned about the order.
The order with which everyone right. had to be called.
Like, yeah, would 100%. Somebody judge me?
No, that's but actually a common question.
If I'm literally hit and stranded, but I'm at the yield sign, why would I call 911 first? Because you know what? If I call you, you'll just deal with it, which is bad. Because it's just like, you're going to be able to talk to the 911 operator and actually just get the information they need versus me, who is now upset that I've hit a moose. Like, who's going right. to be more effective in that conversation?
Yeah, I know the answer there.
Yeah.
That's okay. Okay, well, this was Make It Weird, and that last 10 minutes was a journey.
I will say, though, we went on zero tangents in resource guarding.
Wow.
Like, really? I think that was a pretty heavy educational one. Almost boring.
We'll see. We'll ask people if they found it educational, but boring. I don't think it was boring. I think it was educational but entertaining.
Could you remember the conversation we just had?
Absolutely not. That's why you said there's no tangents. I was like, really?
Yeah, we really just talked about resource gardening.
Really?
Shit. Yeah.
Normally, I go on at least one tangent.
No, I know. That's why I found it really weird.
Huh. Weird. Yeah, I have no recollection.
And it actually didn't get as heated as I thought it would. So does that mean there's more to it?
No, I'm just really mellow today. This whole week, I'm just so mellow. I'm embracing a new level of mellow. It's not going to last long. I know this. We're trying.
What?
I'm just trying to get zen, maybe.
Who's
I don't
calling
know.
You mellow?
Me. I'm trying to be mellow.
I'm not getting... You've been mellow all week? Is that
no,
what you're
I'm
saying?
No, I'm trying to be... Now I'm not. All right. Well...
Has this been mellow stuff week? You should have maybe made a banner.
Compared to other weeks, was I not mellow?
Okay.
I feel I was very chill. For my normal level of lack of chill. Whatever. This was Make It Weird, bye. Where we were very chill about resource
which
guarding.
Which is weird, because I thought I'd get a lot angrier.
You were in teaching mode, not anger mode. We'll do another episode where we just get angry about resource cutting because we have a lot of things
kind
to be angry about.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to do.
Oh.
Now I'm disappointed.
Well, all right. We'll be angry another day. Okay, bye.